Well, good morning. Good morning. You guys filled up yet? Number one. Man, I don't know how Mike does it because worship's my heart, and it's hard to come out of that and then start talking. So he's gifted that way. So I like that slide. It says stand firm. And a lot of times we have enough wavering people in the world. We love them, but there's enough, you know, the Bible says for somebody to pray for something and then yet you don't believe it, they call that person double-minded. And it's like just being tossed around in the sea in a boat. So we need to stand firm. God has gifted us the grace that we're accepted in his kingdom already. He's done all the work. There's nothing that we need to do or earn to make that happen. It's been done. But what Mike's been preaching about is we want to hop over to the other tree and try to then turn back into a performance-based religion, which we know is not the correct one or the true one. So God's gifting us eternal life for those that believe in him and call upon his name. There is nothing that we can do. You know, that everybody says, and I think I threw this out there last week, but a lot of people say, hey, there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. But on the other side, there's nothing we can do to make him love us more. So why don't we keep trying? So let's stop trying. Let's just enjoy the grace and love that God's given us. So Mike, if you haven't seen, he's not here today. So we're going to begin to wrap up the Galatians message. I think the pastor's name is Chris Hodges, I believe. And I previewed it as good. So stick around and enjoy.
Today, he gives, I think, the most important truth that holds all of the, literally all these lessons that we're going to get, that holds them all together. And that is the idea of relationship. That if you don't have this component, he defines relationship as sonship. So that you're in this relationship with God. If you leave that part out, nothing works. And honestly, if there is a life message for me personally, if I get to go share at churches anywhere around the nation, the world, they say you got one chance to preach the thing that's the most important to you, this is the topic. And that is that God never intended to be your religion. He always wanted to be in this relationship with you. And so the term, I need to define a term before we get started. The term that's used is sons or sonship. Now, ladies, don't let that offend you. When the Bible's using the word sons, it's talking about his sons and daughters, his children. In fact, here's a verse that kind of proves that point. You are all sons. So every one of you ladies are sons, you guys are sons. So if you ladies are offended by that, we guys get called the bride of Christ, okay? So there you go. We have a little trade-off there. So we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, okay? So it's not talking about males. It's talking about this relationship. It's literally this idea of sons is a spirit. So it is something that happens. It's one of those mysteries of the faith that if it happens, it changes your life. It really does. So let's get into chapter 4 now. You ready? Grab your message notes. Everybody got them? You ready to go? Chapter 4, verse 4 says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son. So he wanted to even give you a religion, if you will, or a way, a faith that was based on something that happened through his son, Jesus. So he sent his son, Jesus, out of heaven. All of perfection came to earth, born of a woman, needed to experience that, born under the law. So he wanted to experience everything you would experience to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption, so that something miraculous would happen, adoption to sonship. Now watch this. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his son. And I want you to time out for a moment and ponder that, because I need you to grab that. So there is a spirit of his son that can live in you. So in other words, it's not just an idea and it's not a belief. It is something that can happen in your hearts. And this is what I'm hoping will happen today, if it hasn't happened already, is that I need the spirit of his son inside of you. The spirit who cries out. So notice the spirit who cries out, Abba, Father. So now you're even addressing God relationally and not religiously. Now, this may not be a big idea to you because you probably grew up in church with the whole idea of we are the children of God. We're in the family of God. Like, you understand that concept? This was completely foreign to them because God was distant. God was in heaven. He's big. He'd strike you down in a second. You touch that Ark of the Covenant, you're a grease spot. This was their concept of God up to that point. And I maintain that some of those ideas still play over into our Christianity today. So he's saying, look, this is different. This is really different. And now you get to cry out, Abba, Father. Watch this. So you are no longer a slave. And notice he contrasts the slave versus the son, but you're God's child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir, which we'll discuss in a second. So I want to make sure you understand the difference, because chances are there are a bunch of us. I know it was true of me for a lot of years while I was in the church, that I was really operating out of a wrong kind of a relationship. I was really operating out of a slave relationship instead of a son relationship. So let's look at the difference. Jot these down in your notes. And that is that the slave has a master. Of course, that's what a slave has. And a master's always mad at you, right? Or the master's always demanding something from you. And when you approach the master, man, you fall on your face and you're just like, okay, be nice to me. And that's, so it's a mindset. And I'm convinced that some of us think, you know, that's our mindset of God. That if, you know, if we see God, you know, we're just going to fall on our face and we're going to kind of crawl our way. There's actually a church in Mexico where the people, in a form of penance, to prove that God is just this feared, you know, just he's this faceless, big. They actually kneel on their way to church. And so they actually walk on their knees to the church. And if you go to this particular church, there's a blood trail from every street, because once you keep doing it, after a while, there's no more skin on your knees. And they think it's some form of respect to God for there to be this blood trail all the way into the church from people walking literally miles to the church. That is not the spirit he wants you to have. Can I get a better amen out there? That is the wrong spirit. The son instead has a father. Father. So father is jump in the lap. You know, just, I mean, playing candy, you know, right? It's just a different relationship. And that's why when Jesus was on this earth, he even had this relationship with kids where the Bible says the disciples were pulling kids off of him. Do you know what kind of person you got to be a kid magnet like that? You're not this serious thing like the Hollywood always shows him, always, you know, malnourished and sad and serious, walking around in his robe, you know, real smoothly and doing the little curveball thing with his hand, you know, just. That is not Jesus. He must have had candy in his robes. He must have had, you know, oh, you come on, what's that? You know, and I'm telling you, it's important that you understand the difference. Watch this in Romans 8. Same concept in the book of Romans. The spirit you receive, so notice this is spirit and you can receive it, does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. By the way, you can tell if you're a slave, if you're afraid of God. Just think about that for a second. Rather, the spirit you receive brought about your adoption to, and there's the word again, sonship. Now watch this. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. Now that may not mean much to you because that was an Aramaic term. It was the term though, this is what will help you. That's the term they used in their day, like for daddy. So it's the most endearing way to talk about your dad. So like all my kids actually call me something different. Some call me dad, another one daddy. You know, one of my kids calls me Pops. What's up, Pops? You know, and he fist pumps me, hugs me. You know, it's just, but here's the deal. You can always tell what kind of relationship with you have by what you call a person. So that's like a big indicator. We cry, Abba, Father. And watch this. And the spirit then himself testifies with our spirit that we're God's children. You can always tell by what you call God. So let me, I want you to just think for a moment. When you pray, how do you talk to God? What terms? The Bible is actually saying, use the term daddy. Now, for some of you, that even makes you feel a bit uncomfortable. But I want the relationship to change where it's more endearing. There are some people, I was actually in the airport the other day, and a guy walked up to me and said, hello, Reverend Hodges. Well, I knew he probably just knew of me. He didn't really know me that well, you know, because none of you guys, like, everyone else here is, hey, Pastor Chris. And some that are really, especially the kids, they call me PC. What's up, PC? That's really close, you know. They just, I want to be close. I had one call me P. Chris. I said, no, don't call me that. I don't like that one. I had one person come up to me and says, hey, what do you want me to call you? And I said, I just want you to call me. Just call me. I don't need a title in front of my name. I just want to be called. I want to be endeared to you. And I even have some in this room. There's some of them right here on the front row call me daddy. Well, those are my kids. You know, I got five kids. They call me daddy. Don't get any ideas about that one, by the way. I don't. Right? But because the way you call determines the relationship. I love that. Let's look at the second differentiation between the two, and that is that the slave is an employee. An employee. Have you ever been to a restaurant or somewhere and you can tell that the person who's serving you or being the hostess, like they're just an employee and they really don't have the business in their best interest? I actually went to a restaurant recently and there was a zillion people in the waiting area, all with their little, you know, buzzer deal waiting to get a table. And there were a crazy amounts of available tables. And the hostess just wasn't in a hurry. It's like, messed around with her book for a little bit, like, number 54, who got 50? You know, she just didn't care. I promise you, if she owned a business, she'd have every table filled. It's different. And some of us, if you see yourself as an employee of God, you're working for God, and but you're really, it's not in your heart to you know, it's, in other words, you don't see Christianity as part of the family business. It changes the relationship completely. You'll act differently. The son, on the other hand, is an heir. It is your business. So the church, I don't work for God, people. I work with God. I'm on the same team. I'm an owner with God. Are you seeing the difference? We do our membership class, and if you've never been to it, you ought to come. We do it once a month. Currently, it's on the first Sunday of every month, where we just kind of explain who we are as a church. It takes 1 hour, and then we take a moment and talk about our doctrine, what we believe, and then we take a moment and I explain the government, you know, who makes decisions and how money is spent and who I answer to. And I think if you're going to join a church, you need to know all that kind of stuff. And then I explain what I call a membership covenant. And it's just, I want your heart now. So it's, if you like what you've heard, let me take you through what our membership covenant looks like. And I just make this statement. And that is, if I become your pastor and this becomes your church, then these aren't our chairs, those are your chairs. And that's not our carpet, that's your carpet. And those drums aren't our drums, those are your drums. So this is your stuff. And I'm convinced when people see this stuff, not as, well, that's the church's, it's mine, you treat it differently. So now when you're walking down the parking lot, you see a piece of paper, well, that's my paper, because this is my church. And when I see a visitor wandering around, well, that's my visitor, because this is my house. So it's my obligation to say, hey, there's something I can help you find. Because this is, are you seeing the difference, everybody? Because at the end of a membership class, I don't want your signature. I want your heart. We need to be together. Look at Romans chapter 8. So if we are children, then we are heirs of God. And this is powerful, co-heirs with Christ. So in God's mind, you become a part of everything that he has, just as Jesus would have it. Can I just say something to you that's powerful too? That means everything God has, he wants you to have. I know there's confusion surrounding the whole, you know, prosperity and blessing. Can I give you the perfect balance to it? God wants to bless you in an enormous amount of way, but not just so you can have it. He just wants to give it to his kids because we're part of the family business and we'll go give it to others on his behalf. God wants you blessed so you can be a blessing to the world around you. So let me say it this way. God wants you to have more than you need. You need more than you need so you can be a blessing to the world around you. I never ask God for what I need. I say, God, give me more than I need. And if you do, I'll make sure the world gets as much of it as I possibly can help. Because I'm part of the family business. I'm an heir. I'm working not for God, I'm working with God. Are y'all getting any of this, everybody? It's huge for you to understand the difference in relationship. Paul thought it was important enough for there to be an entire chapter to describe the difference between a slave and a son. Now, the third one needs a little pre-scripture. I don't think I've ever done this before, where a scripture is going to help you understand the next point before you get the point. Because last week we did talk about grace, and there are still people that's just like, oh my goodness, they can't handle it. So I had one guy actually respond to me, I still think you're wrong. I'm like, what do you think I'm wrong about? Man, people need to change. They can't just come all up in here and receiving everything and there ain't no change. They got to get in here. They got to change. And I explain once again that grace Grace has to be free. Grace has to be where you get everything God wants you to have without you having to do everything, because you cannot do everything until that happens to you first. Like, it has to happen to you, because that's the mystery. And people still demand for people to do things first to get to God. And you can't. But let me make sure you understand the balance of that. That does not give every one of us a license not to do anything. So I think that's what this person misunderstood, is that now I'm saying just be, oh, go in grace. It's all been paid for. You don't have to do anything. No, no, no. You just don't have to do anything first. It's the order that's important. So you receive the grace of God. And when you do, here's what I want so desperately. It's this verse. In fact, if there's a verse that describes what I want for every one of you, it's this verse, Philippians chapter 2. It says, work hard. Well, you just told me it's all free. Yeah. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. So don't work hard to get saved, because you can't. See, that says it right there. Obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Now watch this. This is my dream verse for you. For God is working in you. He can only work in you, by the way, if you receive this free gift first. But now he's working in you. And when he works in you, watch what happens. Giving you the desire. This is what I want for you. I don't want you doing this thing called Christianity because you have to. I know there's a place for obedience and there's a place for just discipline. I get it. But what I really want is for your desires to change. What I really want is for God. I want you to experience the grace of God. I want you to be treated like no one's ever treated you before by God. That's why you'll never come to this church and hear me demanding you to do something. It's never going to happen, because that's not how we roll. You'll never hear me say, you need to, and you better, and if you don't, you'll never hear that language here. I'm going to lead you to a relationship with God, because I know if I just give you a relationship, your desire is going to change and the power to do it. Wouldn't it be better for you to do what you do because there's desire and power versus doing it because you have to? Amen, everybody. Are you hearing this? That's like my dream verse for you. And so I pray it over you in Jesus' name, that God would work in you and that your desire changes and the power to be able to do what he's asked you to do changes. So that's why, that's my setup verse for this last distinction, and that is that the slave is driven by duty. You have to do it. So you're like, it's time to read my Bible. And here I am praying, and I'm going to try to pray 30 minutes, and you're at that 17-minute mark, and you've already started to repeat the stuff you already said, like, and then the pastor comes along and says, hey, we got a serve day coming up. And for those of you that are in love with God, you go, yes, I can't believe it takes so long for these to come back around. And those of you who don't have the spirit of a son in your heart, you're going, that's my Saturday. And some of you, like, you were raised in churches where the pastor was always telling you, don't you miss a Sunday in church. And like, you're missing it. Like, so it made you want to miss a Sunday in church, didn't it? Like, you're like, I'm just going to miss just because you said that. Like, right? Because here's the difference. The son is driven by devotion. Man, I just love you so much. It's my joy to do that for you. Probably the best story in the Bible to describe the difference between these two is in Luke chapter 10. Let me show it to you. Great story. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened up her home to Jesus. Now watch this. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. Now let me pause right there and say, they both loved Jesus and they both wanted to give something to Jesus, but they were doing it with different spirits. So she came to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has made me do all this work by myself? I haven't got her to get in this kitchen and help me. Right? That's what she did. It's in the Bible. And then Jesus said, you got a wrong spirit, Martha. Martha, Martha, the Lord said, you're worried. You got the wrong spirit. You're upset about many things. Few things are needed. Indeed, only one. And Mary has, and here's the key word, I love it, chosen. Did you know you can make this choice? It's not a feeling, it's a choice. You can make the choice that I'm just gonna be in a relationship with God. And I'm here to tell you, Jesus has invited you into that kind of relationship. And it is better. It's way better. And that's honestly, when I train pastors and talk to other, and we train more than 4,000 churches every year and conferences, and you guys actually help us put all that stuff on. And one of the main things we teach them is the spirit of the place. Has to be what I just described to you. You want to bring people into a relationship with God, so the whole thing is motivated out of devotion instead of duty. So how do we do it? Let's continue back into Galatians now. Formerly, when you did not, and here's the answer, when you did not know God. So he's saying, when you were in the other way, when you were in the slave version, when you were in the, man, this is all work version, when you were in the, man, I'm an employee version, here's what you didn't have. You didn't know God. The whole answer is right there. Formerly, when you did not know God, that's when you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. Watch this. But now that you know God, he keeps saying it, or rather are known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? And that's where he corrects the Galatian church. And that's where I think he corrects us. What do I have to do? You have to know him. So can I help you with that? Can I help you know God? If you ever wanted to know how to know God, I think there are these three little steps that can help you that if you actually put them into practice, they'll help you know God. And the first is the way you see him. You got to see God as Father. It's your eyes. Start with your eyes. How do you even see him? You've got to see God as a Father. So whenever you come to God, what does he look like to you? Your view of God will determine your relationship with God. What you think he's like will determine how you relate to him. And that's why I need to start with your eyes. So what does God look like? Matthew 7, Jesus tried to explain. Which of you, if he has a son, asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? Like, nobody does that. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give you good gifts to those who ask him? Jesus was revolutionizing people's mindsets. That he's not this lightning bolt. He's not this pillar of fire and smoke. No, he's a father who wants to give you good things. Now, here's the problem with this. Some of you had bad earthly ones. And I personally am convinced that it infects and pollutes your current view of God the Father. In fact, I think it's the devil, the whole devil's plan to come between that relationship between you and your dad wasn't to come between you and your dad. That he knew that if he could do that, that you could never relate to God the right way. I was discipling one of our college students and we were talking about prayer and I was listening to him pray and I noticed all their prayers were very formal, very formal. And all the terms, master, you know, using the master, king, all those are great. Use them. I'm not saying don't use them. They just can't be the only ones you use. God, Master, King, you know, and the language is even pretty King James-ish. It was very formal, I was just trying to disciple. I said, have you ever thought about just calling him Daddy or Father? And he started to cry, but it wasn't like sad cry. Anger came on his face. I said, what is going on here? Because I just can't use that term. I said, why not? And began to describe to me his relationship with his dad, how bad it was. I said, bro, you got two things we got to work on here. First of all, we need to get healed from that because that'll mess you up the rest of your life. And secondly is you cannot throw God into the same kind of thing that just because you experience that with an earthly person. Too many people do that. They let their experiences with people on earth infect their relationship with God in heaven. You got to see him differently. And there was great healing that took place there just because the viewpoint changed. I'm convinced you've got to see him the right way. Here's the second one. And that is you've got to approach him now. How? Approaching him through relationship, not rules. Relationship, not rules. Probably every home has a set of rules that you play by. And my home is no exception with my five kids. We have a set of rules, you know, play by. If you need to go somewhere, you here's how you ask. We even have, in our home, we had the, you know, we reserve the right to say no if you don't give us time to think about it. So we had the 24-hour rule. Like, if you want to do something, don't ask us, you know, 5 minutes left to go. Kind of, you're going to get a better response if you ask ahead of time. Come on, parents, I just helped y'all out right there. And so we had money rules. Like, so if you need some money, here's how you ask. Or if you want to earn it, here's what you can do. And like most, we had, you know, allowances or chores and different things that, there was a set of rules. But every once in a while, you could fall into the favor of the Father outside of the rules. And one time, one of my sons came down, and I'm working, do most of my work at home in my home office. And I was down there working on a message, putting another handout together, just busy. And they came and sat down. And I've got a chair right next to my desk. They came and just sat down in that chair. And I knew they wanted something. I was like, okay, man, just hang on 1 second. Let me finish this thought. Bam. Okay. Hey, what's up? And I know, like, so I just asked, come on, Dad, y'all know. What do you need? What do you need? Come on, just tell me what you need. Because he wanted something, right? I mean, they just don't show up in a chair next to you because they. I mean, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. Come on. And so I'm like, what do you need, my man? What do you need? Like, I'm working here. What do you need? Nothing. No, you lying. Tell me what you need. You know, so tell me what you, no, Dad, really seriously. I don't need anything. I was just kind of bored and I wanted to come see what you were doing. Really? Yeah, Dad, how about we go shoot some hoops or go hit some balls or something? Really? You want to hang? Yeah, I just want to hang out with you a little bit. Name what you want. You can have it right now. Anything. Just, right? Because he approached me differently. I wrote a book called Fresh Air, and I'm not trying to sell the book. I want you to have, in fact, if you want to take it, if you don't have the money for it, we have it at the campuses, I want you to have it. Because I wrote it to, it's just this message. It's this message. And then I spent three chapters explaining this concept. And then took nine chapters and says, and here's how you get relationship back into prayer instead of your rules. And this is how you get it back into your Bible. And this is how you get it into your attitude. And here's how you get it into your money. And here's how you get it into your purpose. And here's how you get it into your worship. And because I'm convinced that your approach to God is what's critical here. And that's why Jesus said in John chapter 5, you guys are reading your Bibles. You're diligently studying the Bible because you think, because you read it and study it and understand it a lot, that's how you get to heaven. He went, you missed the point. Watch this. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me and have life. Jesus was saying the goal wasn't to read the Bible. The goal was to find me. The goal wasn't to pray for an hour. The goal was to meet with me. The goal wasn't just to go serve. The goal was to serve with me. He says, you missed the relationship side of the whole thing. Man, this is beautiful. This is really the most important thing you probably will ever hear in your Christian life that can help define all the other things you do in your Christian life. Approaching God. See him right the first, then approach him the right way, secondly. And then here's third, it's key, and that is give God my whole heart. When you do it, go all in. You got to go all in. Everything. I was a youth pastor. This is my 32nd year of ministry, everybody. And the first 11 years were as a youth pastor. And I had a youth group that had we had a motto and a slogan. And here was my own. This was the message. What I'm preaching to you today was the message of my youth group. And that is, I want you to fall in love with God. But here was my challenge. And that is, falling in love with God doesn't work unless you go all in. So let me say it this way. So if you go 90% in, you're going to say, well, that's not very fun. Yeah, because you didn't go all in. It never does work. And there's a verse. This was our theme verse for the youth group. You will seek me and you will find me when? When you seek me with all your heart. So you know what the antithesis of this verse is? So if you seek me with part of your heart, you'll never find me. And then you're going to be one of those that says, well, Christianity doesn't work. No. You didn't go all in. I will be found by you, says the Lord. I can be found. You can have this experience if you go all in the relationship. I think it's pretty cool that today's message fell on Mother's Day. Because, you know, for most of us, our mom, Our mom relationship is one that's very deep into our hearts. I've got my mom right over here on the front row, Miss Caroline Hodges, everybody. She's the best. Y'all give her a hand for me, everybody. I love you, Mom. My mom and dad moved with me from Baton Rouge 14 years ago. Mom still serves, but Mom served as a volunteer all these years. She was my first secretary here at the church, and she was the secretary to the chancellor at the LSU Law School. She came and she set up all these, you know, correspondence, policies, and ways to respond to people and assimilate new people, and just the absolute best. I just couldn't love her more. And of course, I just have her in my heart. And have you ever noticed that, how people have their moms in their heart? You know, so the dad teaches you how to throw a ball and catch a ball, but then you get on TV and say, "Hi, Mom, what is up with that?" You know? What is that? And have you ever noticed how you can talk about your mama, but don't you talk about my mama? And so when somebody wants to insult you, they say, "Yo, mama," like, "What? What did you just say? I know I'm only 5'9" and can punch my way through a towel, but I'm fixing to tear you up right now. Don't talk about mama. Don't talk about my mama." Right? What is that? You have her in your heart. You have her in your heart. Because when you have someone in your heart, everything, so you're like, you don't worry about anybody else's mom, but that's my mom. The other day, my mom always comes to Saturday prayer. And this Saturday, she wasn't there. So she just lives, you know, a mile from this campus. So I went by there because I tried to call her, see what's up. She didn't answer. I thought, okay, well, I'll go by her house. She's just right here. She didn't answer. She didn't answer. The door. So I waited about 30 minutes. I just kept knocking for about 30 minutes to see if she was okay in there. You know, I didn't have a key on me, and I do now. Because I didn't know if she had fallen. I didn't know if something had happened to her. You know, my dad has been in heaven almost 5 years now, and it's like, and then I called, and she always is like, if something's happened like that, she's not there. She always lets one of the three of us know. I'm the middle of three, and all of us live here in Birmingham, and it's like, where's mom? 30 minutes pass. I'm concerned. I call my brother. He's there now. We're thinking about breaking something to get in the house and just see what's up. And then we call the alarm place to see if the alarm was set, and it hadn't been, so she has to be in there. Well, long story short, she actually had gone somewhere, had her phone tucked in her purse. That one time she didn't call us and didn't set the alarm. So like, but that was a long hour to wonder. And I'm going to tell you something, what I wouldn't have done at that point, because you have someone in your heart. I want your relationship with God to go from what I wouldn't do. I mean, there's nothing I wouldn't. Why? Not because the Bible's telling me to and screaming at me to be an obedient servant. No, I've got God in my heart. What I wouldn't do for you, my King, my Lord, my God, my friend, my papa, my daddy, you're the one I love. Are y'all with me today, everybody? So if I was to put this whole message in a sentence, it would be this, and that is that relationship changes everything. It changes everything. It will change everything, and that's what I want for every one of you.